It's BBC Radio Gloucestershire, it's Pete Wilson, and it's Graham Spring, who is the stadium announcer at King's Home, the home of Gloucester Rugby, and we'll be finding all about that very, very soon. But I'm going to go back. Tell me how you came to get there, because we've got to go back sort of 4 years before you started, I think, haven't we?
Yes, indeed. Having been taken to Gloucester as a 10-year-old by my father and got involved in watching Gloucester, I got involved with hospital radio, not directly because of rugby, but because they were looking for someone who regularly went to Cheltenham races to ring in a summary of the day's events. And after I'd done that, on one occasion, I said, oh, I won't be going to Cheltenham on Saturday because I'm going to the rugby. And they said, oh, we're looking for someone to report for us on Gloucester rugby. Would you do that for us? So, yes, I did. And that quickly turned into live commentaries from King's Home for hospital radio, much the same way as Andrew Pugh does for your station these days. And we did live commentaries from the press box at King's Home for about 3 years. The final commentary I did was not at King's Home, it was at Twickenham in 1978 when Gloucester won the John Player Cup. During the summer before the start of the 78-79 season, the sponsors of the line costs for the rugby commentaries withdrew. And I had to go in to see the secretary, who then was Terry Tandy, a great fellow Terry, been so helpful to us at Hospital Radio, and tell him that we would not be doing the commentaries anymore. And whilst I was there, he said, you wouldn't like a job, would you? And I said, what's that? And he said, we need somebody to take over from old Jim, who's retiring. That was Jim Hickey. Would you do our PA announcements? And I thought about it, and I said, yes. And do you know, Pete, this may sound a bit dramatic, but saying yes to Terry on that day in the summer of 78, some 20 years down the line, had changed my life.
Because of what's come since? You didn't know at that time it was going to change your life, I guess.
No, from what came since, from the events of starting at Gloucester on the 1st of September 1978.
So describe your first time on that microphone, because things have changed a lot since that day.
Well, supporters who were around in 78 all the way through until really the ground started being developed would remember the old wooden grandstand and the press box being at the front of the seating area where I sat. But because of the acoustics of the stand, the microphone was based in a small office at the back of the stand. So every time someone scored, I had to run down the steps. If it was a try, pause at the bottom of the steps, wait for the conversion, sprint to the back of the stand, announce it, sprint back to my seat. And we've got to remember that sometimes, perhaps on an Easter Monday, Gloucester would play New Brighton and win 66-3. I was up and down those stairs like a mad thing. And then, of course, I don't remember which year it was, Gloucester came up with a super idea that they would put a standard garden shed on top of the roof of the old clubhouse. And I would do the announcements from there, and because it was in an enclosed space, the acoustics weren't too bad. But of course, if it rained, there were no windscreen wipers on the shed windows. And of course, if it rained, it all misted up inside. So I spent all of my time on a wet day stood outside, popping back in to make the announcements. Thankfully, that only lasted for 3 or 4 years. And then you may remember that when the hospitality boxes at what was the old Tump
on
end,
the Tump,
built,
yeah,
I got the corner office. You couldn't get in a worse position to see the pitch.
I love your description, the corner office. To describe it as an office, it was about the size of a small outside toilet with a tiny square window at a height you couldn't really see out of.
You're absolutely right. I was being very kind in calling it an office, but at least it was dry, it was warm, and the windows didn't need windscreen wipers. And for the first time, I could, at a distance, see what was going on. Binoculars became an essential, but it was a start. But now, of course, I'm in the main stand on the gantry, Why couldn't that have happened 50 years ago?
Well, you say you're on the main stand on the gantry. You are, but you're also on the pitch as the players come out because you welcome both sides. And brilliantly, if I may say so, the tone of your voice, must be hospital radio, I don't know. The tone of your voice when you introduce the away team, he's mildly excited. But when Gloucester Rugby come out, it's very excited.
And if it's Bath, it's barely a whisper.
People must notice you do that. And people must hear you now and know your voice, perhaps don't know your face because they're looking around. Maybe they don't see where you are.
Quite possibly not. But I'm sure you find exactly the same in your job, Pete, that people speak to you in the city. You haven't got a clue who they are. And I think you'd agree. The amount of people you've got called mate is amazing.
Yeah. And you see, they can't see me. They don't see me. They can see you because I've got such a smashing face for radio. Luckily, you've got a good face for going on the pitch. I'm Pete Wilson, and with me today, Graham Spring, talking about his life and his times at Gloucester Rugby as the stadium announcer. I don't think he calls himself stadium announcer, but I think it's rather a grand title, and I think you should have a grand title. You did say it changed your life. Tell me a bit more about that.
It did, Pete. I obviously didn't know at the time, but I started doing the announcements at Gloucester, and all of a sudden, people would start coming up to me and saying, do you do this for other people? Would you do it for me? And all of a sudden, I found that I was being invited to be an MC at a boxing tournament, a master of ceremonies at a dinner, starter at a golf tournament, quizmaster at quizzes, even being at the village fete, informing people that in 5 minutes' time, the vegetable judging would start. And eventually, some 20 years on, I had enough work, because once people have got you to work for them once, they naturally come back to you. And while you're working for them, someone else sees you and comes up and says exactly what they did in the first place. Do you do this for anyone else? And all of a sudden, I found that over the years, my weekends and evenings were becoming filled. And when quizzes took off in a big way, I found that not only could I ask the questions, but there was money in setting the questions. And so when in 1997, as I mentioned earlier, British Gas were looking for people to go, I felt this is the time to set up on your own, young man. So I took their offer and I've been working for myself now for 17 years. And it's the best decision I ever made. And it all started by saying yes to Terry Tandy in the summer of 1978.
There was a story you told me about either when you got married, the honeymoon or whatever, and you fitted around the rugby.
This occasion, not a Gloucester match. I got married 29 years ago on the 1st of March, 1984. So we're coming up to 30 years in March. And we decided many months before that we'd like to honeymoon in Paris. Neither of us had been to Paris at that time. And I decided, let's see when England are playing France this next year in the Six Nations, or the Five Nations as it was then. It was the 3rd of March, so I suggested to my wife-to-be that perhaps if we married on a Thursday, we could fly out to Paris on the Friday, and whilst we're there, let's take in the rugby international. And so I got married on a Thursday, and on Saturday I was in the Parc de France watching Phil Blakeway, I think, played in that match. I guess at that one, because I've been to so many England-France matches since, but we lost, I believe, on that occasion. I had a fabulous week on honeymoon, but the rugby was the high spot.
Can you believe, Graham, I mean, you're in your 36th year as the announcer now?
The end of this season, if I last that long, it will be 36 years. In that time, I have missed just 8 matches. 5 of those were planned when I spent an extended summer in Spain in 2003. And I've missed an additional 18 minutes when I was taken ill at last year's Amlin quarterfinal against Biarritz. So in 36 seasons, or nearly 36 seasons, I've missed 8 matches and 18 minutes, but 5 of those matches were planned. And this isn't a funny story, Pete, but one of the other 3 I missed was I was going to an evening match at Gloucester and I ran my own cat over and I had to race off to the vet. Unfortunately, the cat didn't survive. But that was one of the other three matches that I missed. I missed one match because I was in dispute with the club over payment, and I missed one match because I was having a hernia operation.